During half term, my son Sam and I had the privilege of going on the first day of summer to the Oval, to watch England versus Bangladesh in the Champions Trophy. It was 27 degrees that day, and I managed to get burned on the inside of my right knee because that we hadn't even bothered to think about putting sun cream on. I was reminded of that this week on Tuesday when I was walking our dog in the early morning, in the rain, in 11 degrees, and felt like the first day of summer had been the last, that somehow we had skipped from summer to autumn. And as I was walking prayerfully, I was reminded of verse 2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And it feels to me like we are out of season at the moment. Just for a little context, Paul was writing to Timothy in a situation where things were really not going well at all. Timothy was still a young leader. He was probably around 33 or 34. When we first meet him in Acts 16, he was about 18. So he's been trained throughout that time by Paul to be a church leader. But he's still a young man, and he's been given significant authority. He was in charge of the whole church in Ephesus. And Paul's writing to him to insist, Timothy, you've got to keep doing the right thing. Even if it isn't being fruitful right now, even if it feels like it's out of season and people are not listening, you've got to keep doing the right thing. It's an odd time at the moment. The Chinese have a curse. May you live in interesting times. We definitely live in interesting times. I can remember saying to our children before the referendum last summer, either this will be utterly pointless or it will be complete chaos. I remember saying to them, it is never good when politics becomes interesting. There is a lot of anxiety both about now and about the future. We've had, let's be honest, a weird campaign. We've had strong and stable that's felt anything but. We've had a campaign that's promised jam for everybody, and other parties seem to have disappeared. And to very many people, I think, Thursday felt like a very unappetizing choice. We've had a weird result. Brexit negotiations begin a week on Monday. Probably. If there isn't a leadership election first, lots of people fear that we may be doing this all over again very soon. And that depends on whether Theresa May playing deal or no deal with the Democratic Unionists. There's a huge number of unknowns, lots of uncertainty. Don't you remember Donald Rumsfeld, George W. Bush's Secretary of Defense? He memorably said once that there are known knowns, things we know that we know. There are unknown knowns, things we know that we don't know that we know. There are known unknowns, that's things we know that we don't know. And there are also unknown unknowns, things we don't know that we don't know. And with Donald Trump in the White House, the most unpredictable president in living memory, there are lots and lots of known unknowns, but lots and lots of unknown unknowns. And even I know enough maths to know that you can't resolve any equation with too many variables. That's what life feels like for many at the moment. And such a degree of uncertainty about so many things is corrosive. We've had 3 terror attacks in 7 weeks. 2 were very low tech. How do we stop people hiring vans and buying kitchen knives? 1 was ultra sophisticated and utterly chilling, deliberately targeting young people at a concert given by Ariana Grande in Manchester. It's becoming normalized, and yet we are living in our culture in a heightened state of anxiety. And let's be honest, there's no end in sight. How do you negotiate with an enemy when you have nothing they want? I don't know whether many of you watched the concert from Manchester last Sunday evening. It ended with Ariana Grande, who I have to confess I had never heard of before the bombings. So if you think you haven't heard of her, I haven't heard of her either. Somebody once defined middle age as there's been a teenage craze and you know nothing about it. She sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It was an extraordinary performance. It was beautifully sung. And yet it is a song with a wistfulness about a lack of hope. Somewhere over the rainbow, just wishing for a different world. Why, oh, why can't I? There's no hope in that song at all. And there's anxiety within the church in our nation about its future. There's earnest seeking for new and fruitful ways. But in a culture that has, as Paul predicted here, stopped listening, or will listen only to that which it wants to hear, it does feel that we are out of season at the moment. So how do we live for God in the midst of all of this? The first thing from our reading is we have to remember our hope. Remember our hope. Verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Paul is saying, what I'm asking you to do, Timothy, makes sense because of our hope. Because of our hope in the living, risen Jesus who has conquered death. It's because of that that I'm asking you to live this way. And it's not just hope for the future. It's not just hope for heaven. It's a hope for a much greater reality than the one that feels like it's surrounding us at the moment. The one feels like for some people it's closing over our heads. It's hope for God's presence and hand in and through our circumstances. And it is also, let me remind you, hope for a perfect justice. A justice that cannot be avoided by killing others and then killing yourself. In the middle of all that you face, Paul is saying, remember your hope. And view everything you face through that lens. View all of life through the lens of the hope you have in Jesus. We need to be people who are defined by hope. There's always sufficient reason to sustain our hope. I'm reminded of Psalm 121. Lift your eyes to the hills, when comes our help? Our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. My mother-in-law was a vicar's wife. There was a time when she was in a terrible situation. They were in a terrible situation in their parish. And she used to drive out, it's near Worcester, and look at the Malvern Hills and think, I lift my eyes to the hills, from where comes my help? Our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I could ask you to think about Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul writes that, and I'm going to just add some stuff into it. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life. Why? Because heaven is coming. I'm convinced that neither angels nor demons. So no spiritual beings can get in the way. Neither the present nor the future. So no political or military events, whether they are now or in the future, can get in the way. Nor any powers, whether they be evil or demonic or earthly. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. So basically, Paul is saying, just nothing at all will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to be defined by hope, not circumstance. We need to be defined by hope, not by fear. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. It's not rejoice because things are difficult, but rejoice because we are in the Lord. That's always sufficient reason to celebrate, to rejoice, whatever our circumstances, whatever our personal circumstances, whatever the circumstances in the nation, there is always reason to rejoice because we belong to Jesus. Because we know his presence and his hand in and through our circumstances. So that challenges us to ask, to seek, to knock. If we're needing consolation, or somebody we know is needing consolation, then we need to ask for it from the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Because we're told that we can comfort others with the comfort we've received from God, 2 Corinthians 1. If we're looking for peace, we know that Jesus promised peace that passes all understanding, peace that the world cannot give. So if we're needing that, or those around us are needing that, then we need to ask, to seek, to knock until it comes. We're told in Romans 5 that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope will never cause us to be ashamed. Why? Because God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. So if you or those around you need a new touch of God's love, you need to ask for it, seek for it, knock. And joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That can be found in Jesus, whatever the circumstances. A time like this is really time to drill down in prayer. Deep roots that are not touched by the frost. It's not a time just to be paddling in prayer, swimming the surface. It's a time to do some pearl diving, deep diving. Arrow prayers are great. They have much more purpose and weight when they come out of a deeper walk of prayer. I always find it easier to pray in a crisis when I know that I'm in a good rhythm of prayer and I'm walking closely with the Lord. We have to remember our hope. Remember our hope and not be daunted by the times in which we live. We need to be defined by hope, not circumstance. Defined by hope, not fear. Second, we have to keep our character. Verse 5, keep your head in all situations, Paul writes. Don't lose your bearings. Don't allow yourself to be knocked off course. Don't get too encouraged by good news. Don't allow yourself to be crushed by bad. Philippians 4:6 talks about the significance of thanksgiving in prayer. We need to feed ourselves on what God has done. We need to begin with thanksgiving rather than focusing on what he hasn't done yet. If you feed yourself on what God has done, then you've got greater faith to seek him for what he hasn't done yet. And the translation of ask, seek, knock could be keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Remember that seeking is an invitation to pilgrimage. The word seeking isn't something that happens immediately. You're invited on a pilgrimage, on a journey to seek God and to seek what you're looking for. Verse 5, endure hardship, Paul says to Timothy. It's not an option. It's part of life. It's part of service and ministry. It's part of living for God. Don't be surprised by it when it comes. Don't get offended at it when it comes. And look for the treasures of darkness, because it's often what grows us most. When we embrace it and endure hardship, that's often when we grow the most. And we remember from Ephesians 6, the requirement is not to conquer the powers that stand against us. The requirement is simply to stand our ground. We have to keep our character. Our character matters. It matters to the Lord, it matters to those around us. Yes, I know sometimes as Christians, we get watched really closely by those around us. They want to see us fall. They want to see that we're no different from anyone else. But they also hope that we might be. They need to see the difference that our hope gives. That's what it means to be salt and light where we work, where we live, where we shop. People need to see the difference that Jesus makes to our lives. Have to remember our hope, have to keep our character, and we have to keep following Jesus. It's not a time to stop being a disciple. I remember Peter walking on the water. I think his eyes are fixed on Jesus, and then a wave comes along that's just too big that hides Jesus, and it's in that moment he loses sight of him. And as he loses sight of him, that's when he starts to sink. We may lose sight of Jesus for a moment, but we have to keep looking for him. We have to keep following him. Because the thing about any eclipse is it doesn't last very long. It might feel in that moment like permanent darkness, but it never lasts long. So keep looking for him. Keep fixing your eyes on him. Verses 6 to 8 talk about Paul's passionate and determined pursuit of Jesus deep into his old age. This commitment we make to follow Jesus is a lifelong commitment. There's no retirement. There's no giving up. For those of you who are older in our midst, have you been tempted by retirement? Where have you given up trying to grow? What might be God's renewed call to you today? Timothy might have been a young man. Moses was far from a young man when he was called. Sarah was not a young woman when she was called. Simeon and Anna were able to discern the presence of the Messiah better than anyone else because they had not given up pursuing God. Have you been tempted to stop the good fight? To what extent are you in danger of giving up when the end of the race isn't yet in sight? To what extent have you grown colder in your faith? Our pursuit of Jesus is a lifelong commitment. And that means following him particularly in our service. Verse 2, proclaim the word. I think that's a better translation. Yes, it's often through preaching, but we also proclaim the word in our actions, in our attitudes, in our relationships, in how we respond to circumstance. I think it was St. Francis who's alleged to have said, preach the word and use words where necessary. Second half of verse 2, with great patience and careful instruction. Paul is saying it's worth it. It's worth doing it even out of season. It's worth doing it in itself, even if it's not being fruitful right now. Why? Because dealing with out-of-season times, I think, forges character in us for when the favour comes, for when we are in season. Jesus said that when we are faithful and fruitful with little, we will be trusted with much. Luke 19:17, Luke 16:10. Proving our character through faithfulness in difficult times matters to the Lord. And we also go back to where we began. Our hope gives meaning to our struggles to live for Jesus. Reminds us that there's always a bigger picture beyond what we can see. Reminds us to lift our eyes to the heavens from whence comes our help. Our hope in Jesus gives meaning to our struggles, our duties, whatever the weather is, whatever the lack of fruit out of season, still we are called to be faithful. Paul says in verse 5, doesn't matter what the season is, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. Whatever you are called to do, you're called to be faithful. And to wait for the favour to come. We are prepared for the seasons of fruitfulness when they come by our faithfulness in the times of difficulty. They grow our character. They grow our ability to handle the favour and the fruitfulness when they come. It is a difficult time at the moment in the life of our nation. It's one of the most confusing and worrying times that I know I've known as an adult. But I'm sure there are others here who've known even more challenging times than these. We're not living through the blitz right now. We know, because our history tells us, that God has been faithful to our nation in much more difficult times than these. The challenge is to remember our hope. Romans 8 again, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, why? Because heaven is coming. Neither angels nor demons, No spiritual beings can get in the way, neither the present nor the future, so no political or military events, whether they are now or in the future, nor any powers, whether they be evil or demonic or earthly, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. So basically, just nothing at all will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we need to view the present through the lens of our hope. The challenge is to keep our character, keeping our head in all situations, enduring hardship and being grown in and through it. That is to be salt and light. And the challenge is to keep following Jesus and to keep serving, knowing that favor will come. What people around us really need to see in us at this time is that we are full of hope. They need to see our Christ-like character, or a character that is becoming more and more Christ-like. And they need to see our joy and persistence in serving. So it's time to lift our heads to the mountains from whence comes our help. It's time to view everything through the lens of our hope. It's time to keep our character, seeking to grow in the hard times. And it's time to keep following Jesus as closely as we can. That's what our world needs to see from us right now. Amen.